It's a delight to be here again this evening, looking forward to our week. Let me just say a couple of things before we jump into our text this evening. Number one is how thrilled we are to be home. It's just so good after a very, very busy fall to be able to be back. Let me encourage you as a church family with a couple of things. One, God is at work always. He never stops. And just in the different meetings that we've had from Pennsylvania to Virginia, I was out in South Dakota, varying churches. The church we were in last week, we were with a very small church. Between the pastor and his wife were there, and he has a grown son and their family. They have six children. But apart from pastor's family, we averaged 4 and 5 people a night. Does God care about that church? Yes. Is that church as important as this church? Yes. It's God's church. And you know what is amazing? Whether it's 5 people, 50 people, doesn't matter. God is at work doing and accomplishing his plan and purpose in the hearts of people, all to the praise of his glory. And I am so thankful for what God is doing. People sometimes ask me, are you concerned? And are you concerned about that? I'm like, you know what? God is at work. God, yeah, there's problems in our country. There's challenges in our churches. But God is at work. He is moving. He's always doing a work through his word. And it has been a thrill and a privilege to be able to do that. And, you know, as our sending church, and this, you pray for us, you support us financially, that helps us in our ministry. And we are just so thankful for Home Church that comes alongside of us and supports us and prays for us, and that we come home to this. This is a time for us, whenever we're home, that is refreshing and encouraging. We count it a privilege to be home. And we are just so excited when we come back home. We are so excited about what God is doing at Community. The people he is growing. People are being saved. God is at work in our church. And I am absolutely thrilled about what God is doing in this place for his glory. And I am excited about what God is doing and what God is going to do in the days ahead as we continue to faithfully serve Jesus Christ. The message this evening from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let me just tell you up front, it's a simple message. Go back to the mic. That's hard for me. I can't be doing this. All right, I'll try. I'll do my best. It's a simple message, but it is very profound because it draws out to the surface some things that I hope will be a help to you as we evaluate from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, our part of God's process for the gospel. He's going to change that out. I want you, while he's changing that, would you look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Our text tonight is verse 5 through verse 9. Now, to give you a little bit of background, Paul is writing to a very, very challenging church at the church of Corinth. There's a lot of strife. There's a lot of contention. There's divisions and arguing and things that are going on, and Paul has dealt with some of those things, and he actually kind of touches on it just a teeny bit in verse 5, but I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 3. Our text tonight will be verse 5 through verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. God's word says this: what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom ye believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Now look this way, please. What you will notice is whenever you get personalities involved and men begin to look and focus on men rather than Christ, you are going to have contentions and problems. And that's what they were doing. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. You know, Paul led me to Christ. Kind of this is my spiritual heritage. And what they had done is they had lost their focus on who they were and what Christ had done, and they were taking glory that belonged only to God, and they were assigning that to men who are in and of themselves nothing. And so Paul begins this section, and we're going to see three things this evening. Number one is this, that we are only the Lord's servants and must be faithful to our task. This speaks of the diversity of service in the body. Look what he says in verse 5. He asks a couple questions. What then is Apollos and what is Paul? He's asking this question, what are we? Who are we? And then he gives the answer. Look at verse 5. He says this, servants. Now, this is not the word that is doulos, which means bond slave. This is a different Greek word. It's diakonos, and it's a word which it refers to a servant. It's really a menial worker of any kind. Some people who fit this category, some were actual slaves and some were free. But it was anybody who did any kind of menial labor, who kind of worked doing any kind of task. It was actually used very commonly in the Greek culture to refer to someone who waited on tables, a table waiter. He goes, you know what we are? We're nobodies. We're just servants. And he makes an interesting point here. Let's look back at our text. I don't want us to miss this. Look what he says in verse number 5. Servants through whom ye believed as the Lord assigned to each one. He is simply saying this. He excludes that by the use of this word as of diakonos, he is excluding any personal authority. In other words, he's saying, we had no authority in this. We had no power here. It indicates that they were an intermediate agent working on the behalf of another. So what they're saying is this, we're just servants to whom you believed. What was he saying? Let's go back just a little bit and are thinking of Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 says, how shall they believe on him in whom they have not? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here's what he was saying here. He's saying, we are only servants when he says, by whom you believed. All he was saying is this, we were the table waiters, we took the message of God, and we gave that message to you. That was our responsibility, that's all we did. It wasn't our message, we didn't cook it up, we didn't develop it, it wasn't our plan. We simply took what God gave to us, and we gave it to you. I think even going back to 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For we delivered unto you that which we also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We just delivered to you what we had received from him. That's the gospel. And then he goes on to point this in his diversity of service. Look at what he says in verse 5. I planted, Apollos watered. He's talking about the diversity of service here. He's using agricultural imagery, which ought to make most of us Midwesterners happy, since our economy kind of depends on it. He goes, what do we do? Oh, he goes, I planted, Apollos watered. Can I ask you a question? You can plant the seed, you can water the seed, but here's my question to you. Gene, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you make the crops grow? Nope. Do you realize what he's saying? We plant the seed, we water the seed. That's our responsibility. God gives the growth. Look at me. You can no more make a seed of corn bring forth corn than you can make someone have spiritual life. Can't do it. It's God's work. He does it through his word and his spirit. And he says, look, he's saying, well, we just have different ministries. It's a diversity of ministries. We're nobodies. God gives the growth. God's the one who gives the increase. Look with me, please, back at verse 5. I want to continue the thought. He says this, so neither he who plants nor he who waters anything, but only God who gives the growth. You know what he's saying? There's no credit to you. You're not a big deal. Hey, guess what I did? I planted the seed. So what? I watered that seed. Let me ask you a question. Who did it all? God did. Period. For the glory of God. It's just, you know, look at me. Do you realize? Here's the point I want to, if you don't walk away tonight with anything but this one truth in your mind, it's this. It is a privilege to be a part of God's process, no matter how small or big it is, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because look at me, it is the giving of the gospel that God uses to bring sinners to himself. We're a part of his process. Let me ask you a question. We're going to get to, what's our role? Who's more important? You know what he's saying? We're all nobodies. We're all just servants. We have no authority in our own. All we are doing, we are intermediate agents. We are taking what God has given. We're fulfilling our responsibility. So the point is, be responsible with that responsibility. The great context here, I believe, is the gospel. But I believe it can be applied to other areas of ministry. No matter what we do, we're doing it for Christ. And any blessing, whether it's spiritual growth, spiritual maturity in the hearts of believers, or whether it is someone coming to Christ, which I believe is probably the prevailing application in this text, it is God who gives the growth. It's His work. And look at me, we can trust Him for that. But it gives us the diversity of ministry. Look, why is it that we compare ourselves so much in the jobs that we do and the things that we do for Jesus and the things we do for the Lord, as if my role is more important than your role? No, it's not. Every part of ministry, every part of sharing the gospel, living the gospel, giving the gospel, every part is an important part of God's process of the gospel being given so that He can give the growth, give the increase. Now, I want you to look me down at verse number 6, if you would please, because he says this. He says in verse number 6, I planted, Apollos waters, but God gave the growth. Now look at verse 7, so neither he who plants or he who waters anything, but only God who gives the growth, going back to the Lord. And now he says this, now we see a unity of purpose. He says here, you know what, he who plants, he who waters is nothing. And in verse 8, he who plants and he who waters are one. Now, what is he driving at? The idea here, when he uses the phrase that he who plants and he who waters are one, the idea is this, is that he's not talking that they're the same person. He's saying they are both seeking to achieve or accomplish the same goal. And again, using the agriculture as the imagery here, what is the end goal of planting? For there to be a harvest. What is the end goal of the watering? For there to be a harvest. So what he's saying here is we have a unity of purpose, we have a unity of goal, and that is to bring glory to God through the giving of the gospel. So whether I am planting the seed, whether it's being watered through whatever ministry, whatever task God gives me, the whole goal is the same. And I remember this, I'm still a nobody in it, I'm just a servant. That's all I am. And he keeps repeating here in this text, God gives the growth. God gives the growth. God gives the growth. He is driving home in the hearts of the Corinthian people, and I believe in the hearts of his children today, God gives the growth. God gives the growth. The problem is this. We are, as an American culture, we're so success-oriented. We love numbers. We love excitement. We like to see things. We like tabulations. We like numbers. And too many times, we think that that is an indication of success or blessing. And so when it's not going the way we want to do it, we begin to step in, and now we are going to kind of help God along here. And we're going to produce some of those numbers and results and successes in our way in order so that we can see the goal accomplished that we want to see accomplished. And he goes, no. God gives the growth. Its unity of purpose. This brings a humility as he repeats and repeats himself. God gives the increase. It brings us back to whatever happens, all the glory goes to him. One final truth I want you to look with me, please, as our text kind of draws to an end in this section. He says this. We'll read verse 8 again. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We see number 3 that we are fellow laborers with Christ. His cause is ours, and he rewards faithfulness. He says in this text very plainly here, he who planted to one, we're one in our purpose. And then he goes on to say this. He gives, I love the wording here. Each will receive his wages according to his labor. One, it's a privilege to even be a part of God's process of sharing the gospel and sinners coming to the Savior. That's a tremendous privilege. But you know what? He says, I am going to reward you for your labor. See, he rewards you according to your labor. God notices. Listen, one of the things that I've seen in a lot of independent fundamental churches, Baptist churches, is this, is the guilt-driven mentality of what's called soul winning. You heard that? And so the whole idea is I got to engage somebody and I've got to convince them that they got to get saved, and if I have to basically win a logical argument, getting them to pray a prayer, because if I don't win that argument, and if they don't pray that prayer and quote-unquote get saved, then I'm not a soul winner, and if I haven't won them, then I must be, if you're not a winner, what are you? Loser. So if I'm not a soul winner, I must be a soul loser. It's all in you. That's a bunch of baloney. It's not Bible. It's not God's word. I'm not saying you don't share the word of God with passion and with compassion for others, and you seek to take the word of God and use the truth of God's word to dispel darkness and to help teach against false doctrine and false teaching and proclaim Christ. But at the end of the day, it's not about you winning an argument and getting someone to pray a prayer for you. It's not. You know what? You may never have the privilege of, quote, leading someone to Christ. And you may feel like a failure because of that. You know what? Look at me. That's not the end game here. It's all the glory of God. Let me ask you a question. If you share the gospel and someone receives Christ, who did it? God did. And that's the point. He says, I'm going to reward everyone according to his own labor. If you take the broader imagery of the application, he only mentions three things. He talks one about the planting of the seed, the watering of the seed, and then he talks about the growth. But there's two other stages at the beginning of the end. One is the preparing of the field, and the last one, yeah, it grows, but then it must be harvested. Now the point is this, is look, God caused the growth. God does all this. It's all for his glory. Doesn't matter what part you had in it. No, it doesn't. Doesn't matter what part you have. He is going to reward those who are faithful. It's confidence that God is going to accomplish his plan and that he is going to give me, or that he is going to reward me according to my obedience and to my faithfulness to what he has given to me. What a wonderful, comforting, encouraging truth. You know, we're I don't know about you, I am so excited about Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. I know many of you have invited. We have invited people. I am praying my chiropractor may be coming tomorrow night. I would love to see him come. Maybe you have someone you've invited and they may come. Isn't that great? But what's the goal of tomorrow night? Is it, if I've been in churches where if you have something like this and you don't have a profession of faith at the end of the week, somebody says, well, you know, here, look at it. We had Sunday, we had Monday, we had stakeout, we catered in Olive Garden, and then we had a dodgeball tournament, and we didn't see any professions of faith. What are we throwing all that money down the toilet for? We should at least somebody got saved. Let me ask you a question. Is it a waste of money or time? Absolutely not. Do you want to know why? Because we plant, we water, but who gives the increase? God does. You know what our problem is? Look at me. It's not Instafruit. It's not just add water salvation. It's not microwavable, put the gospel in them for 30 seconds and let's see something happen here. It's God doing the work through his spirit and the word, his truth. I want to give you an illustration that I hope kind of makes sense and will encourage you. We were in a small town in Illinois. This was several years ago, 7-8 years ago. And we had an average of around 16 people per night in our meeting, 16 to 18 people a night. We did it different. We had Sunday through Wednesday meeting. On Thursday and Friday night, we did something different. Instead of having the regular meeting, they asked me to, I know this is going to sound hard, you're not going to believe this, but it's true. They asked me to teach on some things. So instead of having a regular service, I actually taught for like 45 minutes. I know, right? I know, 45 minutes. And I taught on something they asked me to teach on. Well, I'm sitting there, it's on Thursday night, and here to kind of remember, there were, at this point, some people couldn't make Thursday night, there were 21 people in the building, including our family of four, and the pastor's family of five at the time. Out of the 21 people, there were 7 unsaved visitors who came into the service. Do you know what I did? I didn't teach on what I was supposed to teach on. You know what I did for 45 minutes? Shared the gospel. Now, when they came into the building, they were like, oh, hi, they shook my hand. It was all great. All I did was stand up and I just gave the gospel 45 minutes. Well, at the end of the service, I stood at the door and I'm shaking hands with people. Guess how they walked out of the auditorium?
The dad, the old guy, he walked out, wouldn't even look at me. I raised my hand, thank you for coming tonight. He completely ignored me, just stomped out the door. I said, well, oh well. Now, did anybody get saved that night? Nope. So I was a failure, right? Why'd we have that meeting? Here's what happened. 2 weeks later, Pastor gets a phone call from this man. He calls him up and he says, Pastor, that guy preached a message on the gospel when I was there, and I cannot get that message out of my head. I can't stop thinking about it. Pastor was on vacation. He sent over a deacon and a young man who was preparing for the ministry. He sent them to his house. They sat down with him, and they went through the gospel again, and that man professed Christ. When Pastor got back from vacation, this was in the third week, he went back over to his house and sat down with him and wanted to hear his testimony. And he said, Brent, that man received Christ. He believed the gospel. He understood. He believed the gospel. And the change was taking effect. A couple days after that, he had had some physical problems. He went into the hospital with some of these struggles. And when he was in the hospital, Pastor and one of his deacons went to visit the family. And when he sat in with the family said, okay, what happened at your church? Because all he has been talking about since he's been in the hospital is something about the gospel. It's something he heard at your church. It's that he keeps talking about. He won't be quiet about the gospel and the fact that he has been saved. He said, what's going on? Gave Pastor an opportunity for the gospel. It was exactly 1 month to the day that he heard the gospel message, he entered into eternity. Now I want to ask you a question. Who gets the credit? I mean, I did preach the message, so shouldn't that kind of be a notch on my Bible, you know? To get a soul, right? Let me ask you a question. Just think about this for a second. What about the pastor who had the vision to have a meeting? Was that part of the planting and watering process? Sure. What about his son-in-law, grandson-in-law, who had a heart to invite them to come and live out the gospel? And then they came and they heard the message. And then a deacon and a preacher boy went over to. Who gets the credit for all that? Who gets the glory for all that? Exactly right. Look at me, friend. You know what? Is the gospel is given? If maybe no one received Christ today, was it a waste of a day? Absolutely not. You have no idea what part of the process this morning was in the heart of someone who needed the gospel. That's God's business. He gives the increase. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we're going to gather around. The gospel is going to be preached. You know what we're going to do? We're going to plant. Those of you who are serving tables, those of you who are making, who are greeting people, being friendly, those of you who've invited, every one of us is laboring together with God. We are fellow helpers. We're fellow laborers with Him. We are laboring for the same cause. We are laboring for the glory of Jesus Christ through the salvation of the lost, through the power of the gospel. We're co-laboring with God. Isn't that all? We are laboring with Him. That's what he tells us. We are fellow helpers, co-laborers with our great God in simply giving the message. And all she does is this. He just asks us to take what he's given us to deliver, to serve in whatever capacity area that is, plant, to water, and trust him for the increase. And he promises, I'll reward each laborer according to their faithfulness, to their own. Not only is it amazing truth, we get to be a part of that process, but then he rewards us for it in eternity. What an amazing truth. Can I encourage you tonight? We have an awesome week coming. We get to labor together with God. We're laboring together as a church body along with our great God for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? Maybe someone's going to receive Christ that week. Wouldn't that be amazing? I would love that. Maybe someone will get saved a month from now, a week from now, a year from now. Who knows? But what a privilege it is to be a part of God's process of laboring with him for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight is our time of invitation. Let's do this together. We're not going to have a song tonight. We're just going to do two things. We're going to reflect and respond on God's word. Let's reflect on this in our own hearts. We are co-laborers with him. We're nothing. We're planting, we're watering. Are we being faithful in the task that he has assigned to us? He's given us the responsibilities. And let's ask God this week, Lord, whatever opportunities you give, help me to be faithful, Lord, whether it's planting or watering, but Lord, we are going to look to you for the increase so that all the glory goes to where it rightly goes, and that is to you. Let's ask God this week to give the increase all for the praise of the glory of Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed together. Let's take a couple minutes of quiet, of time of reflection and response to God's truth together, and then I'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the great privilege of being able to labor with you for the cause of the gospel, for the glory of Christ. Father, would you please help us this week to be faithful, to plant, to water, whatever area of service you give to us, Lord, to do it faithfully, realizing that we who plant or water, we're nothing, but you give the increase, you give the growth. Father, we ask this week that you would use the gospel to draw sinners to Christ. Father, we look to you to give the increase, to give the growth, all for the praise of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For he alone is worthy of that praise. We ask this in Jesus' name.